from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing gets past you. I see how you got that gig, dude.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
As of this morning, C.D. Lamb. He got that bag, $34 million a year, $38 million signing bonus, $100 million guaranteed.
Bag alert, major bag alert,
major.
And this from Adam Schefter, who wrote earlier today, that is now 11 receivers to sign a lucrative contract extension this offseason. 11 receivers who have made at least $50 million overall in a new contract. In fact, quick aside, let's have some fun. Grandy, if you please, 11 receivers, I'll give you two strikes. Can you name the 11 receivers who have signed lucrative contract extensions this offseason? Dan Dibley, you're up.
Well, Justin Jefferson, we know.
Ding.
Amon-Ra St. Brown, we've talked about. We've talked a lot about Calvin Ridley, who got money, and Jalen Waddle.
Correct.
You know, those have been the ones we've used as comps. I think A.J. Brown signed.
That's correct.
What is that, five?
Five?
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Six more to go.
Yeah.
You mentioned Jefferson, Amon-Ra, Brown, Ridley,
and Waddle.
And Waddle. There's your five. You got six more.
Does CeeDee Lamb count? Or
yes, he does. Yes.
I wasn't sure.
That's six.
If it was in addition to him. Who's that? Oh, Nico Collins.
Nico Collins.
He's
that is correct. Yes, 3 years, 72.75.
How many more do I have to go?
That was seven, right?
Man,
so he's got four more to go.
Jeez.
One of them's hard. One of them, I'm going to admit to you, it's really hard. You should get the other three.
There's the one guy who I like from Indianapolis, Pittman.
That's right. 3 years, $70 million.
All righty.
Three more to go.
Ah, man. Ooh. Devontae Smith?
Very good. 3 years, $75 million. Two more to go. One you should get. One is going to be hard.
Boy.
But you have all your strikes and all your lifelines, even though there are no lifelines. Go ahead.
Well, my lifeline would be to ask Mark.
Right. But Mark
like
is looking at it. He's looking at it. You have
I'd
to phone a different friend now.
And it's funny because neither one of these guys is really my friend.
Why don't you call Supper and Myla? See what they have to say about it.
Myla had her second birthday yesterday. So
God, was that yesterday?
Yeah.
Happy birthday. Chocolate
cake and ice cream.
Chocolate cake. Anyway, go ahead.
Oh, God. I don't know. I'm running out of names
that
here.
That reference went flying over Grandy and Lucas's heads. They do not even understand what we were just doing. If you're 48, that was hilarious.
That was great.
It was hilarious. But
chocolate
Grandy,
cake.
Look at you. You're just sitting there like you didn't even know.
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead. Two more.
I don't know, Mark.
Two
I'm out of names.
More.
Two
more.
Rondell Moore's not still
two
playing.
Two
Oh, DJ Moore.
There you go. All right. Chicago Bears, four years, $110 million. Dollars. Now, the final one is the lowest of the 11.
Boy.
The lowest deal of the 11 and is the one you're not going to get, but give it a try.
Jeez. I mean.
I'll give you one clue.
Okay.
His name used to get chanted as a talk show host.
What?
That's it. That's my
clue.
It got
chanted?
His first name.
Jerry Judy? Jerry Springer, right?
Yes!
Another 30-year-old reference.
3 years, $52.5 million. Jerry Judy.
I had him last year on my fantasy team.
Now, for extra,
I thought you were going to Judge Judy for a second.
For extra fun, can you name the team that Jerry Judy joined? That's a lot of J's.
Yeah. I know it's not the Broncos because he was a Broncos.
That's where he was, yes. That's where he was.
My gut tells me Cleveland. I'll just say Cleveland.
Very good.
Okay.
He's kind of on fire.
Yeah. I just.
Well played.
You set me up for the buzzer, so.
There's your list.
Should have quit while I'm ahead.
Ja'Marr Chase and Brandon Ayuk, furious that their names have not been mentioned.
And Ja'Marr Chase is 3 years into
only
a 5-year deal, right? Because
yeah.
He was
a first rounder.
Okay.
Of course. He was a top 10 pick.
And Ayuk is 4 years into a 5-year deal.
As is CD. CD and Brandon are doing this when you're, like,
supposed to
do it. Ja'Marr's just over here like, so why? Why do I got to wait? And I guess you don't, but he also showed up to practice and there is still no new deal.
Yeah.
And he's alongside his counterpart, his other receiver got franchised.
Mm.
And so the Bengals are in this, you know, not paying the wide receiver spot with Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. And obviously broke off Joe Burrow last year, who is tied for the highest number out there.
Right, so the Niners could be in the same camp, but
could
it feels
be.
Like they're trying to split the baby, which I wouldn't recommend. Makes quite a mess, but they're trying to make Brandon happy, but also not extend him long term. I don't even know what they're trying to do, because if they wanted to not pay two receivers a lot of money, then you would have just said to Brandon, "I'm sorry, we're going to have you play on your 5th-year option." Or we're going to trade you. Either way, it seems like they're trying to...
But you could sign him and let Debo go.
You could, but, you know, Debo is the boombox guy, as Manti Te'o was saying.
I
call it the bambox.
I would really hesitate on that, but Debo does get injured more, and he is the older of the two, though not old. Look, to me, that's sort of a... I'm going to lean on what Kyle Shanahan would think as far as... who's more important to the offense? And so you're right, though. Like, what you're pointing out to me is still the question that I'd love answered. There are a bunch of things here that don't add up.
Yeah.
That don't add up. If you think Debo is the centerpiece to the whole thing, you wouldn't sign Brandon to an extension. If you're going to use two draft picks on wide receivers, you wouldn't sign Brandon to an extension. And they haven't signed Brandon to an extension. But apparently they're trying to sign Brandon to an extension. Then again, I'm mindful that it hasn't worked. So I don't know what they're actually offering. But anyway, yeah, some of that stuff feels to me like it flies into the face of one another.
It just is a little baffling as to what they're doing, because CeeDee Lamb, okay, no-brainer. He's an unbelievable talent, and he's going to get paid. And he gets $100 million of a practical guarantee, which is second only to Justin Jefferson, which feels about right. He's probably the second best receiver. You could look at that, and certainly his numbers were spectacular, and he got more targets percentage-wise than Brandon Ayuk. And so, yeah, it makes sense that he would get that much money. But if you really want to extend Ayuk, it just doesn't seem to me that it should be this difficult to find where that number would fall and then go ahead and just pay the man.
Yeah. I the whole thing feels complex, and maybe that's why we've arrived at where we have. Let's take some calls on this and work our way through it. 888-957-9570. Gene in Oakland. Hi, Gene. What are you doing?
I'm sitting with the pooch who's waiting for me to get off the phone and go to the park.
So. Yeah. Oh, that's a tough wait, but thank you for doing it.
Yeah. Well, thank the dog. Anyways, All right, so I'm still choked up about that eulogy you gave for the Giants, man. That was very touching.
Well, thank you. It came from the bottom of my heart, Gene. I worked long and hard on it, and that's the end of that.
I can tell. I might even want to hire you for mine when it comes up, and who knows.
Well, that's quite a morbid thought, but thank you for sharing.
As for the Giants, I mean, I think you could sum it up by saying they've been an exasperation sensation.
Very good.
Where's the thing going? All right. So I want to say something about it. Ayuk. There we go. All right. Ayuk. Okay. Listen, you know, I've been consistently saying I really thought it was a matter of time before he signed and until today. That C.D. Lamb thing, you know, and after I read this article, I think it was by Dieter Kurtenbach, I believe that. Not only do I think that's dead at this point, but I think it may be for the best that you just keep him for his fifth year. You know, a year from now, maybe slap the franchise tag on him, and apparently you get two first-round draft picks if you can trade him at that point. And you're going to have all that money freed up because you got a lot of contracts starting with Purdy's next year coming up. So maybe that's the best way moving forward. The other thing is, you know, get this done and get Trent taken care of, and let's start focusing on the season. But moving forward, I got to wonder if Prarag is the right guy to handle these negotiations, because year after year, there's high drama to the point where it's a major distraction, whereas all these other teams are able to sign and their players early on and move past. We're still dicking around with this thing this late. So, anyways, I just put that out there. But at this point, once again, I think it might be best if he does play the fifth year. You got to expect that he's going to play his best. This is contract year. And then move on after that.
Gene, thanks. Okay, I've seen this in a couple of spots. I would love to talk it out a little bit. Are you down on Parag Marate?
No. I mean, Parag Marate? Okay. I was just wondering, like, what would that mean to be down on Parag Marate? Are you down on the way they go about doing this, their process?
I think some people are getting there, which I find super interesting, but I want to hold what I'm going to say there until I,
On Parag Marate, but I do think, and we talk a lot about, like, process versus results, and their process has been pretty clear that they are hardline negotiators, and they are going to wait until the last possible moment. They want to win the deal and all the rest of it. Well, you had Debo, and you kind of hardlined it. He signed a little bit later, and he had a down year. Nick Bosa signs the week of the first game of the year, and he has a slow start to the year, and his year was a little bit down. And so now you've got Brandon Ayuk and Trent Williams, and neither one of them's in camp because you are hardlining it, at least with Brandon Ayuk. Maybe Trent this is going exactly the way you wanted it. That way Trent doesn't have to worry about coming in. But if, again, these players do sign and they do come in late and they both miss camp and they both have down years, well, then now it might be time to look at your process and change your process.
I think that's a fair comment. I do think there's a little bit of this going on. The Niners got beat by Nick Bosa, so they don't want to get beat again. And I don't know if that's the greatest way to go about your business, because that's sort of like that's carrying someone else's negotiation into this one. And I don't think that that's helpful. You got to take each of these as they come. Everyone is its own individual thing. And the timing of that particular year and what else is going on with your roster all matters. So does Parag take a competitiveness into negotiations? I think that sometimes he does. Is that a good thing? No. However, I think you're hard-pressed to say, like what Gene just said, which is, hey, Parag's not the right guy for this. We're having a hard time every year signing our guys. All these other teams are signing their guys. All right, well, who's got the best roster?
Yeah.
You want to be all these other teams? You want to give your bad quarterback $40 million like the Giants did?
Mm.
Is that what you want to do? Do you want to give your crappy, aging running back a massive contract if you're the Dallas Cowboys and have that affect your good players who you should have signed, like Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb, only to then bring that same running back back 2 years later, back? Like, I'm not saying the Niners are perfect and everyone else stinks. That's not what I'm saying. I just think it's funny when I hear people start taking shots at the process of putting a roster together, and in the next sentence they're like, but it's the best roster in the NFL. Well, then their process is good. Now,
it can be good.
Now, does it need to evolve out of what we've seen over the last 12 months? I will agree that that's probably a point that's worth exploration. I do not think you can take the last 4 years of Niner football and go, oh, every year we got to deal with this. Well, the last 4 years are what all that has gone into it are what has drafted this roster, and it's a damn good one.
It is, but are there things that you could do to make the roster even better and to avoid these situations? I think that there are things that you could do, and maybe it is as simple as forecasting the market at wide receiver. And you mentioned 12 wide receivers got new money this offseason. I think that was the number 12. We did the little trivia game at the start of this segment, and all those names and all that money that was laid out by all these teams, well, you probably saw this coming. Not a lot of these were mysteries.
Yes.
And so could you have made this happen back in February or March at a lower number than you're currently negotiating? Probably.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe at the time that felt like a loss, and so you didn't want to do it because you don't want to lose the deal. And instead, this thing is dragged out now to the end of August, and the player is not signed, and the player hasn't been at camp actually practicing, and so we're in a little bit of a spot. So is that process or is that results? Heck, I don't know. It feels like everything he's done, restructuring McCaffrey, restructuring Juszczyk, all these other deals that Parag Marate is authoring to free up cap space. The Niners always seem to have cap space, even though they have a killer roster and a bunch of guys who make a ton of money. He finds a way to create room. So you have to look at Parag Marate in totality. You can't just look at him as a hardline negotiator who makes players wait until September and say, oh, well, that guy's got to go. He does so many things that we don't actually see that make it so it is cap schmap, as you like to say. But this one thing, for me as a fan, is frustrating because you like a player, you want to keep a player and sign a player, then just do it.
I think these are the two things. If you want to take aim at the Niners front office and process, this is just me now. These are the two things that you can argue fairly, because Parag has largely, all of them, they have largely done a good job. They've got a lot more hits than misses, whether it be draft, whether it be the way they structure contracts, whether the fact that, right, like people want to be there, all of that stuff. I think that they've done a very good job. But there are two things that I think are critical this particular offseason. One, is he carrying the Nick Bosa loss with him into this offseason? That's a critical point. And two, could you accuse the 49ers of straddling the fence? You came into the draft with this, like, we want to trade Brandon and keep him. Like, we'll call you, we'll shop him, but you better give us what we want because we're just as comfortable keeping him. And then you pop out of the draft without making a trade, thinking, well, we can sign him, and you couldn't. So it feels to me like you didn't pick and you drafted two receivers. So it feels like an undefined path that you picked. You decided you wanted him, but you didn't want him. You drafted to replace him, then tried to keep him. You tried to trade him, then you tried to keep him. Then you told him he could be traded or kept. His choice, he chose neither. Like, what do you want? If I could sit in the room with both of them, what do you want? Tell us what you want and then go do it.
Right.
Do you want Brandon with all your might? Then you could get it done. And Brandon, do you want to be a Niner with all your might? Then you could get it done. But everybody's got 2 feet and one's in each bucket.
Exactly.
That's where I think you can criticize the 49ers this offseason.
Right, and Brandon has, you know, tried to have his foot, his other foot, in a number of different buckets. And totally. I don't know if he's just playing chicken with them or not, but whatever the Niners are doing is not enough to actually get the deal done, or to say, like you were talking about today, 2 o'clock is your deadline, and here we are 3 hours and 20 minutes past the deadline, and you said you're done with Brandon Ayuk, and if you were in their shoes, you'd say, all right, this is the offer, and we're done talking about it. You know where to play. Come play football, or don't. Your choice. And I don't think that the Niners are even in that space. And, you know, the roster cut down is at 1 o'clock tomorrow, so we have 20 hours, a little less than 20 hours until they have to decide what they're going to do with their 53-man roster. So a lot of these things I know are uncomfortable, and you've mentioned this before. They're built for this. Parag Marate goes through it seemingly every offseason, and he's already looking at next year and 2 years and 3 and 5 years down the road. I'm sure he's already got on his whiteboard Brock Purdy's approximate number and what that will mean, what the cap is probably going to be at that point, and what that's going to mean for the whole roster. I'm sure he's gone through all the machinations of the future of this roster, because that's his job.
Yeah, I look at this also, though. I would not take shots at the Niners saying, look around the league, everybody else is kumbaya, and the Niners are always fighting with their players. That I reject. I just think we're not paying that much attention to what's going on with other teams. Jamar Chase held out. CeeDee Lamb held out. Hassan Reddick won't show up. The Eagles sent him to the Jets because they couldn't figure out what to do with him. You got the Judon situation with the New England Patriots. There's all kinds of stuff going on around the league with, I'm not going to say most teams, but every offseason, there's a handful of these. There's holdouts. You know, Jalen Ramsey did this a few years ago, completely made up an injury, got himself traded to the Rams. This happens all the time almost every team. You know, the 49ers, I think, lean in the direction of having more of this than others right now, because they've got a higher percentage of high-profile good players. Like,
yeah,
right. That's because they're so high profile. Because they win, you're dealing with a lot of people who are like, I'm at the top of my market, and I need to be at the top of my market. You know, and I'll reiterate that. That's the only reason I hold Brandon now in a different spot than all these other players. If you want more money, you want more guarantees in this league with the way they structure stuff, I got your back. But not if you're offered 5 different teams at 8 different salary structures and you say no to all of them.
And your price keeps going up, seemingly, and the team has come up as well, but yet you still haven't been able to find that happy medium. And you mentioned all the contracts that have been signed, and CeeDee Lamb's average is 34 a year, and A.J. Brown's getting 32, and D.J. Moore's 27.5, Amon-Ra's getting 30. I mean, there are numbers where you could rightly say from both sides, this is about where your contract should land. And if they are as close as reports have it, where he's saying that I want 30, and they're saying, well, we'll give you 29, up from 26, or whatever the numbers actually are, it seems like this deal should be able to get done. But then there's the other part of it of, does Parag Marate, the financial expert, does he not want to lose a deal? And or deep down, do they really not want to end up paying this wide receiver this much money?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either.
I believe in the end that the Niners are way more important to Ayuk than Ayuk is to the Niners. And that's with an acknowledgement that Ayuk is very important to the Niners. I think this is recoverable. I really do. I really, really do. And I think that on an emotional level, while nothing comes of it that's tangible, I do think on an emotional level, it's important that Ricky Pearsall went back to practice today.
Yeah.
I think that's very important. If you are still actually in the middle of negotiations, the fact that Jacob Cowing's name keeps coming up, 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 up. He keeps looking good in preseason. David Lombardi, an hour and a half ago on our air, says Jacob Cowing is going to play an important role this year. He will have an effect on games this year. Pearsall's back at practice. Conley's making plays in practice. It's just practice. I'm not saying that Brandon is replaceable. I'm saying he's recoverable. if he ends up being a loss. And I still don't even know how the hell he's going to end up being a loss. There's a little curiosity in the back of my mind. They go, what happens? What happens if week one gets here and the Niners are just looking at him like, dude, you want to play or not? You want to lose $900,000 2 weeks from tonight? You can.
You're allowed to.
And think of the risk everyone takes every time that happens. You go out on a Monday night against the Jets. You win 27-10. And Chris Conley catches a touchdown and Cowan goes for four balls and 68 yards?
Yeah.
How's your leverage now? On the other hand, Debo goes down on a crossing route. Now how's your leverage doing?
Exactly.
So everybody's playing poker and chicken if this thing bleeds on into the season and it comes at a cost of almost $900K per week for Brandon Ayuk.
One, it comes at a cost, too, of possibly your season going up in smoke.
Totally.
If the bad things happen, if, you know, Cowing has a catch and a fumble or Conley sprains a toenail or whatever the things happen that hurt the team and the team goes out and they lose and, you know, Brandon's sitting there in the catbird seat, but who cares? The Niners are 0-1. So all that matters is he plays football and makes as much money as he can, and they go out and they win football games. So how do you get both of those two things aligned? And every report we've heard from BA is that he wants to be a 49er, but as TJ Houshmandzadeh said to us, he just wants to get paid.
Yeah.
So
not true. Not true, as it turns out now.
But he wants to get paid by the Niners.
Yep.
And he wants to get paid as much as he can by the Niners. And that might not be the way this all goes.
If memory serves, it was 1993 that the Dallas Cowboys and Emmitt Smith played this game. Smith held out, best player on the team. Cowboys right in the middle of their Super Bowl window, as we 49er fans damn well know all too well. And the Cowboys took it into the season. They wouldn't pay Emmitt. They went out and played week one. Loss. Okay, we're still not paying Emmitt. Went out there in week two. Loss.
Mm.
Now you're 0-2. They paid Emmitt. And I believe went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
After he arrived.
Yeah.
So
little bit of a different situation.
Of course, he was their best player.
And it was at a time when the running back is kind of what the receiver has become now.
That's
where,
good point.
So, I mean, the running back at the time was, you had to have a running back. You had to have a bell cow. And he was, I mean, he's one of the greatest to ever do it. So I don't think that Brandon Ayuk is going to get into that same leverage point. Even if they start out 0-2, you know, Shanahan probably would look at it and think, you know, I could still scheme it up and win without having to bend over for Brandon.
It'd be fun to look back and see what that contract was, though, that Emmitt Smith got. Probably got a 3-year deal for like $4 million or something like that, with the way the money was back then. But yeah, he got paid. Let's go to 49er David in Concord. Hi, David. What's going on?
All right, guys, I'm going to play a game. Hope you play with me. What day of the week will Trent and BA sign? I'm going to go first. I say Trent signs on Thursday and Brandon signs on Friday. It's your turn.
Okay, this week, Thursday and Friday? All right, let's do Trent Williams first. Thank you, 49er David. He says Trent Thursday, Brandon Friday.
I'll take the over on both.
You think it's going longer than
yes.
that?
Yeah. I think Trent will be probably Saturday or Sunday. I'll go with Saturday. Just, you know, Sunday's an off day.
I think Trent Williams is going to be Wednesday.
So 2 days from now, okay.
I do not think Brandon will be this week.
Yeah.
At all.
Okay.
I will go, yeah, I don't even know. I don't know if he's going to sign. This thing, there's been so many twists and turns in this. There's so many things already that don't make sense.
None of it makes sense.
Yeah. So, like, why would it stop now? You know what I mean? Like, we've reached that point. There can't be any new information. What the hell's going to come out now? Well, the Niners are going to be like, okay, well, now we'll do it.
Yeah. Well, now that the CeeDee Lamb contract has landed, I don't think that Brandon Ayuk's price is going down based on that. I could see Brandon Ayuk looking at that and thinking, he got 34,
brother,
I want 32.
Let me tell you something right now.
I'm just saying the way that he might perceive himself.
I don't know if this affects it. It shouldn't. If I were the 49ers and you called today and you said anything about CD's contract and changing numbers in an upward trajectory, I would not continue the phone call. That's a hang up without a goodbye. That would be, at this point, I would find that, if I'm the Niners, to be so offensive. If after everything that both sides have been through, you're going to show up 2 weeks before there's a game and start talking about a new market setter that isn't really a new market setter. The market didn't change today. All that happened was that the second best receiver got the second best contract. I think we all could have predicted that CD, after Justin got 35, CD was going to be 33 or 34.
Yeah.
That's what it was going to be. And Brandon today remains not CD. So, like, I don't know how that changes anything. You know what I mean? If Justin's 35, your basis of who you are to Justin is the same now that CD's at 34, if you ask me. I would not take anyone's call to start and say, oh, Bryce just went up again. Nah, dude, you're a Steeler or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, whatever.
Or you're a couch potato. You can do whatever you want this year.
Yeah.
Not playing that game.
And I think that they've already played that game is the problem. And if, you know, they were close to a deal back in February or March and the number was reported at about 26, and now the reports are that he's at 30 and the team's at 29, well, they've already moved. They've already moved the goalposts. So I'm not saying that they'll move it again, but the Niners have already shown at least a reported willingness to change what they think that he's worth. Not that CeeDee Lamb is a comp, and I'm with you, because he is clearly better than Brandon Ayuk, but as these contracts keep coming in and Brandon remains unsigned, the market continues to change.
Let me ask you a larger question, a little broader view of the wide receiver thing, as Matthew Berry is on a television set over your left shoulder mm-hmm. and my right.
Okay.
And he has literally taken over. He's taken over social media. He's taken over my email inbox. This is that week. It takes over our lives, right? I had a family draft last night, 95.7 The Game. We'll be doing our draft on Wednesday night, heading out of town this weekend to do the draft with my high school friends. It takes over our freaking lives. Not saying I don't love it, I do. And Fantasy Football 2024, what do you hear? What's the new in vogue thing to do? You're hearing people, and I wouldn't do this, but you're hearing a lot of people sort of experiment with something called the zero running back strategy.
Mm.
Now, the zero running back strategy either means, because I like a lot of leagues will force you to draft at every position, but it means basically just ignore it until the end. And then we're going to deal with the volatility of it late, take some young guys, see if I can play the waiver wire, because what do I want instead of running backs? I want elite wide receivers. I want to stack my roster with elite wide receivers. Something about that has gotten into people's bloodstream. I do not, you named off perfectly, by the way, perfect score, 11 players who have signed contract extensions at the wide receiver position just this offseason for north of $50 million, some of them north of $100 million. I don't get it. I don't get it. Are they important? Sure. Are they flashy? Yes. Do they look good in a uniform? Cool. Are they who you want on your fantasy team so that you can name your team after them? What can Brown do for you? I drafted AJ Brown. Whatever. I get all of the attention. I don't see the dollar translation to wins. I don't see it.
Yeah.
Hell, someone just hit us on the Xfinity mobile text line. 707, we see you. Thank you for texting and listening. We appreciate you. Couldn't disagree more. Quote, no way. Ayuk is the difference between a winning or a losing season. Unless I'm reading that wrong. Maybe he or she means no way Ayuk is the difference between a winning or a losing
season. That's the way I heard it.
I don't know. Whichever way you're saying it.
No way.
Yeah, I thought maybe reacting to something one of us said. Brandon Ayuk, the 49ers are still a winning team without Brandon Ayuk.
They're still a winning team. I don't think that they're a Super Bowl championship caliber team.
That's fine. That's fine. And strangely on that front, if they were still a good team, like who's going to step forward at wide receiver? That's a question for 6 months from now. anyone who's ever played fantasy football knows that in 3 weeks, there's going to be all kinds of crap going on that we didn't know about. I won the league last year because of something that happened after week one.
Exactly.
Puka, no, who?
Right.
Who is that? Why is this guy running all over the TV catching every ball? No one had even heard of him. He took over the league. So I don't know who's going to perform for the Niners at wide receiver by January. Could it be Ricky Pearsall?
Could be.
Could be.
Yeah. I mean, just the whole no running back strategy in fantasy football is an interesting one, but you look at teams, and NFL teams have kind of started that trend where you don't have a lot of teams that are going to rely on just the one running back. You have a lot more committees around the NFL now than ever before, and so that might be where fantasy football is trying to imitate real football. But you mentioned it, all those wide receivers who are making this huge money, and you go down the list, and not a lot of those teams are top of the market, the most competitive teams. Philly's going to be the interesting one because they've got two guys who are making
a
huge
lot.
Money.
Yep.
And they do expect to be good. But beyond that, I mean, Dallas is paying the one guy, and Dallas is always good until early December, and then they fall apart. But Minnesota, they're not going to be great. DJ Moore got a lot of money for Chicago. They're probably still a year away.
Yeah.
I mean, Detroit is a team. Amon-Ra making 30. They fancy themselves as good, but a lot of these guys are on teams that aren't necessarily that great.
We should play with this, maybe. I want to do this with you before you leave now. I want to do this before you leave now.
Okay. Wednesday.
You're here Wednesday.
Correct. Yeah.
So either tomorrow or Wednesday, we should sort of roll through every division and do kind of the question or comment. It ends up being this great conduit to all the things that we think about all the teams and all the players. I'm not convinced that Philadelphia is good. And I know that's wild after the experience we've all had. But do you know what's weird about the Philadelphia Eagles this year? Normally we show up here in the fall and we just assume that what we last saw remains true. It's why everyone thinks the Packers are good. The Packers weren't great last year. They were 9-8, and they needed 3 wins the last 3 weeks of the season against crappy teams to get to 9-8. But what happened then? Ooh, they blew the Cowboys off the field, and they gave the Niners almost more than they could handle. So we've decided, that's it. The Packers are good. Why are we not doing that to the Eagles? What happened that made them good again? We watched them for a month and a half stink out loud. And then their superstar center, around whom everything in that run game was built, retired. And then you went out and signed Saquon Barkley and you've decided that means you're awesome again? I'm sorry, football is more complicated than that.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they're awful, but I don't know that they're good. Jalen Hurts was really weird at the end of the year, and I'm not sure that it's fixed. And I would imagine his center leaving would make it harder.
Probably, especially when that the Philly tush push.
Yeah, the brotherly shove.
Yeah,
that's is it going to work this year or not?
I wonder. That's going to be fun to watch because totally. That was definitely a Jason Kelce sort of creation. I mean, he's the one who really made that thing go. Hall of Fame center getting you into that A gap and just. You know, get on my hip and don't dip, as Lo Neal would always say.
If you told me to put something of value on whether or not the Eagles would make the playoffs this year or not, I would be very uncomfortable doing it. I'm not convinced that that's a good football team. Like, they might, they'll be okay, but I see that division, outside of the New York Giants not being good, I don't think I know anything about that division. The Cowboys had maybe the worst offseason. I don't trust the Eagles, and I believe in Washington, but I'm not. They might still be a year away.
Eagles over-under for wins is 10.5.
Under.
And it's juiced to the over. So if you want to go over 10.5, it's minus 148. So the under, you'd actually get plus money.
Yeah, everyone thinks they're going 11-6 or 12-5.
Yeah.
I'll take the under.
Under 10.5. You got them at 10-7 or worse.
Yeah. I don't think they're that great. I don't think Jalen Hurts is that great.
Okay. Yeah, this will be an interesting test case because they do have two of the highest paid receivers in football. Just one quick note, because you asked about it. The Emmett Smith 64-day holdout.
Yes.
They were 0-2. They actually got to 1-2 before he returned, but he signed a four-year, $13.6 million contract, made him the highest-paid runner in football history.
Now Brandon wants that by week four.
13.6 over 4 years.
Over 4 years. And Brandon wants that by week four.
Yeah.
God, isn't it crazy?
64-day holdout.
Damn. We're sponsored by Floor and Decor. And not done yet. 888-957-9570. Willard and Dibs.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
Can you sing with that voice?
Literally. I did Daddy Warbucks in middle school, and it was toxic.
What I'm telling you, I'm telling someone.
Why? Sing.
That's singing.
On 95.7 The Game.
Oh, what a good man. Steve Young. Something to announce? You decide what it means.
Okay.
The Niners have announced that John Lynch will speak publicly at 2:45 on Wednesday.
Okay. Wednesday at 2:45.
Is that normal for the day after final roster cuts?
It seems a little bit abnormal.
I don't remember.
The day after, like a full day after.
And I know where everyone's head goes, ooh, he's got an announcement. Well, do you usually announce that you're going to give the announcement 48 hours before you give the announcement?
No.
Seems difficult in the age of social media to be like, I've got a secret, and I'm going to tell you in 48 hours, and no one will know between now and then.
Impossible.
Right?
Especially when you've got a player in Brandon Ayuk who has been on TikTok and other social media at the drop of a hat, you know, when he has something that he wants to put out there. So if a deal is going to be done, I don't know if you would schedule that 48 hours in advance, like you're saying, but what else would it be? Trent Williams? Trent's done?
Well, okay. That was
that
the
might
day
be
I,
something.
That was the day I predicted.
Yeah.
Wednesday.
Okay, so that might be.
But that's not for nothing, I mean.
Yeah, but if you're John Lynch, would you want to face the media in front of everybody if the Brandon Ayuk isn't done?
Maybe.
I mean, to just answer questions about why it's not done? That, maybe, yeah, that seems.
Or maybe you're announcing that it is done. And when I mean done, I don't mean in a good way.
No, it could be. Like we are no longer negotiating with the player.
We've got to go get ready for the season.
Yeah.
We already, like, there was an insinuation sensation of that last week when he one of the questions, because they've all answered so many questions about Brandon, but he finished one of them by going, we got to focus on the 90 guys who are here, which is a little bit of a different, there's a little bit of a departure from Kyle Shanahan being like, so Brandon's got a back injury.
Yeah.
With the whole hold in thing. We got to focus on the 90 guys who are here. And at a certain point, you do that. At a certain point, that's what you do because you don't have a choice. You know what I mean? I firmly believe we have arrived at the time where this is on Brandon and his agent. You want to play football? It's right here. This is on Brandon and his agent. This has gone on way too long. This has taken so many twists and turns. You've been offered so many different things. You've said no to everything. The preseason's over. Game preparations are underway. Final roster cuts are happening. This is like you're running out of time. This is actually, if I'm the agent, here's where I'm calling Brandon tonight, being like, dude, we're getting into a real uncomfortable spot. These other teams don't want to make a deal anymore because the season's too close. And you're running right down the neck of having to sort of make good on your promise that you won't play on the fifth-year option, and you're about to lose a truck full of money.
So we got to decide what we're going to do
here. Yeah.
We got to decide. It's time to fish or cut bait.
It's bleep or get off the pot. It's all those silly things. It's all of that.
So then that means either he takes their last offer. Maybe the last offer is not there anymore. You're playing your fifth-year option. If no other team is interested in acquiring you, you might be running out of options. And if John Lynch is going to talk Wednesday at 2:45 down there in Santa Clara, then either both of these situations, Trent Williams and Brandon Ayuk, are both done and put to bed, and he knows that's going to be the way it goes. Or he gives you an update like you're saying, you know, we've broken off negotiations.
Conspiracy theory?
Any questions?
Conspiracy theory?
No conspiracy theory.
No, I've got one. Do you want to hear one?
Sure.
All right. You call Brandon's agent and let him know that press conference has been set for Wednesday at 2:45 so that you can announce that you're breaking off negotiations.
Yeah, or at the very least, you set this up in advance as a way to maybe fire a shot across the bow saying, I will say that come Wednesday. If you haven't signed by then that's our deadline. If he's not signed by the time I... Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Various Mats, Mayoko, and Barrows, and Cam. How are you over there, Cam? I see you.
Let's go to Cam in the back.
Totally. And then you begin with your opening statement. Yeah, David Lombardi, if you wouldn't mind sitting in the back because you're 6'6" and you're blocking the view of some other people. Yes, thank you for coming, and I'd like to announce, bam, either he signed.
We've re-signed Robbie Chosen to a 2-year, $6 million contract. I don't know. Hey, this would be, for me, this is sort of like the last piece of advice on all this. Let's go all the way to the top. Bill Belichick on talking about these contract holdouts and how you finish them up. Listen to what Bill has to say. And this is specific to Brandon now and CD. This is through Pat McAfee's show on ESPN.
You know, the Ayuk situation was interesting too. You know, here's a guy that, again, I don't know all the specifics of it, so I'm looking at it from the outside here, but didn't want to go to New England, didn't want to go to Pittsburgh. In the end, is the little more money, however much the extra money is that worth going to a team that, you know, isn't, maybe has the same opportunity to win as maybe what San Francisco does? And so I think that's kind of the, you know, whether CeeDee Lamb's going through the same thing down there or not, I don't know. Like, Dallas is a pretty good situation, got a great quarterback, got a good team, got a lot going for you. You know, does he want as much money as possible? Yeah, of course. But is it really worth it to go out of town to wherever and not be playing in the environment and the opportunity that he has there in Dallas? So, I mean, AJ, you've been there before. You know, that's a player, you know, a decision you have to make as a player. Like, how much is it, you know, you want to try to get as much as you can from the team you want to be with. If you're already on that team, then, you know, how much is it really worth by the time you move, you know, pay your 50% tax or your millionaire's tax in New England? You got that one too. You know, what's really the differential?
I mean, that's a real question. That's a real question. You know, like, pair that with what we heard him say earlier when he's like, look, I tell my players when we're in this situation, you can come to me and say, hey, Cleveland just played their top guy, you know, $5 million more. He's like, great. I can't control if they want to make a bad decision. Here's what we can do, and here's what we offer you. That gets lost in all this. The 49ers need to make an offer to Brandon, but Brandon also needs to understand what the 49ers offer him.
Right, and I think that they've probably been through that a number of different times, and each side has probably changed what their offer was. And so here we sit, August 26th, and we don't know if they're going to be able to finally come to terms. But it is interesting that John Lynch has scheduled a press availability 2 days in advance where he's going to come out and say something. He's going to talk about Trent and Brandon. Trent or Brandon, if Trent is signed, then maybe Brandon, at that point, he'll just come out and say, like you're talking about, you know, we have decided to move forward with Brandon and break off contract negotiations, and we fully expect him to come in and play on the fifth-year option, and you know, the ball's in his court. Any questions from the assembled media?
I don't want to miss any shows, but I need to commit myself, man. I need to turn myself in. I got to break this habit.
What happened?
I don't want to go to Twitter anymore. I just don't. It's just the stupidest place on earth. It is. It's the stupidest place. First of all, it's just become videos of people like beating each other up or whatever. Like there's just fight videos everywhere. Like, and most of them, I'm pretty sure, are AI. Like, I don't even think anything on there is real anymore. I just saw this tweet. Ready for it?
Please.
Breaking news, all caps. Per league sources, the San Francisco 49ers and Washington Commanders are close to a trade.
Let's go.
For top wide receiver. No name given.
Oh.
There's a picture of Brandon Ayuk. And then it says, the next 24 hours will be interesting. That's from Duckamish at SkinForce21.
Yeah, it is. That's a good account.
He scooped Adam Schefter.
According to
Duckamish.
According to Duckamish.
This is the stupidest place of all time. I don't even know why I'm there.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
Yeah, it's tough because, you know, the blue check mark used to mean something, too,
yeah.
Where you could, you know, at least.
It still does. It means you got $8 a month that the rest of us don't want to pay.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Stupid.
Well, hope Duckamish might be right. They might be. I heard that Washington's at the 1 yard line, Mark. Commanders are right there.
I'm out on Brandon Ayuk, dog. Oh my gosh, I'm so out. What are you doing, Grandy? What's happening here?
Guru was back today.
Yeah,
so
damn right he was.
You're going to hear the crossover with all four of you guys at once.
I love the crossover. Full force, full first string crossover.
Rare.
Look at that. Yeah, damn right. That's brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full service banking with no compromise. You want to do it again tomorrow?
Absolutely.
Okay, let's do it again tomorrow. For Dibs, for Granny, for Lucas, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. It's all you got.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.